afternoon, everyone. It is 1 p.m. Pacific time. What does that mean? It's 4 p.m. Eastern time, which means it is time for Registered Ear Offenders, hosted by Sal Rodriguez and Chris Z, broadcasting out of SkidRowStudios.com. How you doing, Chris?
Pretty good, Sal. Pretty good. Can you hear me right?
I can hear you just perfectly fine.
I'm not sure we're in the same dimension right now.
No, you made the mistake that I made a few weeks ago. I must confess, even though this is not a confessions episode, that a few weeks ago when we had Marianne Cirk on, I give an on-air apology to our guest Marianne Cirk from a few weeks back because I was high off of a dispensary edible. And unfortunately today, Chris, you are suffering the ramifications of experiencing a dispensary edible from last night.
I did. I ate a cookie. I ate it in thirds. And I would have been fine just eating two-thirds of it, more than fine. But of course, like a jackass, by the time you eat that second third, that kind of pushes you into the realm of like, I'm a hedonist.
Well, you know, the problem is, you know, years ago, back in the late 80s and early 90s, my friends and I would go to we would go to the Grateful Dead parking lot when the Grateful Dead was in town. We'd go to the sports arena or whatever. We'd go to the parking lot. We'd buy edibles. We'd buy brownies. We'd buy cookies. We'd take them home. We'd eat them. We had a great time. It was great. I don't know what the deal is with today's edible from these dispensaries, but I have had more bad highs and bad trips from these edibles in the last few years. I am done.
Yeah, that was I'm once bitten, twice shy. I don't need to learn my lesson a second time. I'm done with those things.
Everybody, you are listening to Registered Ear Offenders, hosted by Sal Rodriguez and Chris Z, broadcasting out of SkidRowStudios.com. We are also on Extreme Talk XM 165, Saturdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. Chris, are you still with us?
Yes. I'm alive and well, man. Thank God I got the rest of the day off after this. I'm calling it a day.
I'm glad I don't look like you because I got to take headshots later, and I hate taking headshots. You know as well as I do, you stand, you got to smile, you got to hold the smile. I do not like, even though I'm an actor and comedian, I've been in many commercials, I do not like having my picture taken.
Neither do I. And so my mother always says that it's just, you know, every picture is just, there's a 99% chance that it's going to come out terrible. And 10 years from now, they're going to be laughing at the clothes you're wearing. That's what I hate, is when you get the picture of, like, they snap it of you. You didn't even expect it to be taken. You get your parachute pants on. You know, I just hate photographs.
Well, even at family gatherings or parties, even here, when people want to take promotional shots here at Skid Row in front of the nice, beautiful banner we have in the background here, I do not like having my picture taken. And it's not even so much anymore that I think I look fat or I think I look ugly. Like, I have thought that in years past. But recently, I just don't. I really actually am more of a voyeur. I'm not an exhibitionist. I enjoy watching others. I enjoy being behind the camera. Maybe one day I'll be a director or something.
I wish we could go back to the good old days where you took like one photograph a year. You dressed up for it. You know, I
mean, they had the common combs there. Did you have that when you take the school photographs? Are you that old that you would go to take your school photograph and they would have these common combs? and you would have to share the comb with every other kid in school.
No, I do remember though. I did get drunk the night before my senior class picture. You know, the one, the portrait they do of you in the tux?
Yes.
It just looks ridiculous. I have, like, my hair, like, I had long hair back then, and I didn't even comb it. I just pulled it back.
I would love to see a picture of you with long hair, man. Do you have any photographs of you with long hair?
Yeah, but they're all old. My hair has gotten a lot more coarse as I've aged, but it used to be very supple.
You know, when I used to have long hair as well, and one day I'll show you a picture. And one thing I did that was very fun is one day I went to this black salon, an ebony salon, and the lovely black woman there put cornrows on me. So that was
really?
A lot. Yo, I loved it. Let me tell you something. I lived for a week with cornrows. It felt terrible. It looked great. I never got so much attention from black girls in my life, and I was in heaven.
I've always liked cornrows. It's obviously never going to work for me, but, ever since I saw it in the Naughty by Nature video, he says, because I couldn't afford a haircut.
That's right. And speaking of former long hairs, we want to welcome back Mr. Nicholas Chacone. Because Jeremy Hansen's not with us today. Jeremy's in San Francisco, I believe, having a great time.
He's on one of his unexpected last-minute trips.
He's in Frisco having a good time with the gays. And we are here with Nicholas Chacone. Welcome back.
Here I am. What's up, you guys? I'm still waking up. I got a flat tire on my bike, but it's all right.
You didn't have any... Jeremy, Nick just sounds like he had an edible, but he did not have an edible.
No, I'm just waking up still. That's all. I literally woke up like... about an hour ago. I don't even know. Maybe a little more.
Thank you, Mr. Nick Chacone. Our show is brought to you by Audible, by Audible.com. And you can get a free audiobook download by going to audibletrial.com/Skid Row Studios, and you can get a free audiobook download. Chris, tell our listeners what is on the show today, or don't. Are you still in a haze? What is wrong with you?
No, I was trying to let you know before we started the show that I don't have a format. I have everything but the format. So
that I emailed you several days ago.
You didn't email it. I have everything you emailed me right in front of me. Look.
I looked in my sent folder in my Yahoo, man, to double check.
REO March 1, links, sketch, LJ's bio and links, but nothing else.
I don't know what the deal is.
Here it is. I'm just kidding.
So you have the format.
I do.
Which means tell our listeners what's on the show today.
It just wasn't close by. Sorry.
You took the edible last night or today?
I'm telling you, it carried over, man. I woke up and I literally had to splash water on my face and go, am I still under the influence?
Is this, Chris, currently you are the best argument in favor of not allowing legalization and decriminalization.
Well, I say this, how about with some proviso? Like there has to be a limit, like no more cookie bomb, cookie monster, like the thing I took last night. We've done station identification 2 or 3 times, so I guess...
You're not supposed to read that on the format.
I guess it's time for a YouTube talk. Of course, we have a full show with Chris's Corner, Sal's Weekly Rant, our special guest, LJ Montenegro. And we've got a special surprise for the listeners and for LJ Montenegro, but I won't give it away.
It is a very special surprise, and I hope that you're not too doped out.
And plugs and promotions. What's that?
You're not supposed to read that. Chris Z. All right, we're going to get into our show. A lot of exciting things going on. This is a very historic time, and we'll start off by hearing from Mr. Dana White, president of the Ultimate Fighting Championship. This was recorded a couple years ago, brought to you by TMZ.
He's recovering, right?
He is.
When are we going to see women in the UFC, man?
Never.
Never?
Never. Right, thank you, guys.
That is Dana White saying that we will never see women in the UFC. And now here's Dana White just from a few nights ago.
Here with UFC President Dana White, just finished a historic UFC 157. Give me your first impressions on the night.
It was a great night, great fights. The main event lived up to the hype. It was an awesome fight. You know, a lot of people were talking smack that Liz Carmouche was somebody we threw in here. So Liz Carmouche is the real deal. She's a very tough girl. She's got a record of 7-2. And let me tell you what, for people that are just tuning in, a lot of women that watch tonight might not understand, the submission. When Liz had her back and had her in that rear naked and then turned it into what's like a neck crank and a face crank, that hurts really bad. And I can tell you this, Ronda is going to be chewing a lot of food tonight at her after party. But she got out of it, which is even more impressive. If you know what it feels like to be in that submission, it's terrible. And she gets out of it and then ends up pulling off her trademark armbar.
Yeah, certainly an incredible fight. Where does this night rank in the history of UFC?
It's a big one. This is a big milestone for us, obviously, with the women. First ever women's championship, and it being such a great fight and being the headliner. It was a big night for us.
And there was Mr. Dana White, UFC president, talking about the first ever, not only women's UFC fight, but women's UFC title fight. Headlining fight from the other night at the Honda Center in Anaheim, California.
So they opened big, huh?
Oh, yeah. It was big. It was a big deal. And, you know, this is the theme of our YouTube talk today, is that we are talking about women today becoming, would the phrase be more violent? This sort of a running theme. On our last two YouTube talks, we showed essentially women attacking men.
Right.
And so now, are we just in an era where women want to fight? Check out this other clip from the Young Turks.
Leon Panetta, the defense secretary, has lifted a ban on women fighting in the front lines. So this means that as long as they qualify and undergo physical tests, women in the military will be able to fight on the front lines. So this is something that women have been fighting for in the military. Right now, we have about 250,000 women fighting our wars in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Yemen.
It's about 14% of the force.
Yeah.
And now you can fighting for that in the front lines. Now, it doesn't happen immediately. It is actually going to take a while to implement, and they're supposed to get reports back on how the Army and the Marines are going to implement this. Now, the Navy and the Air Force already do this because they've already got pilots that are in the air that are women. That's basically the front line in their field. So
are women becoming more violent? Why do women want to fight now? What's going on here?
Yeah, what is the attraction to fighting?
I mean, is this part of the women's live movement that they think, hey, we want to fight just like men?
I understand the movement towards like no more domestic violence because getting hit sucks. But who told them that getting beat up is fun?
Well, if you remember that movie Enough with Jennifer Lopez.
I never saw it. I do remember it.
Okay, so she plays, I guess, a woman who gets abused by her boyfriend, I believe. And then she learns how to fight in the montage in like 2 weeks, I guess. So, she learns how to fight. And then she kicks her boyfriend's ass in the movie Enough. So, you know, here we are in an era where women want to fight. And by the way, there's no shortage of chick fights on YouTube.
No, there's not. You know, and I wonder if society takes them as seriously as they would when, you know, because I've seen some shit. I've seen this one video about these girls that actually like lured this girl to the house and like closed the door. And, you know, and I was of the opinion that it's kidnapping. Like they actually took this girl in like a car and sequestered her with the intention of jumping her, you know, and they beat her pretty badly. I remember having an argument with a coworker, just like he was like, you know, we used to scrap all the time when we were kids. So it's like, you know what? When my grandpa was a kid, they had slaves. I could make it acceptable, you know?
We also are not only in an era where women are fighting now as professionals on the biggest stage in the world, the Ultimate Fighting Championship, but also in the military on the theater of war, if you will. But also it's getting a little bit worse. And here's a clip from this guy called The Amazing Atheist. I don't know if he's a friend of yours, Chris. And hear what he has to say about some recent events and about
friend,
this show.
Peer.
This show called The Talk. Let's hear what he has to say.
So there's this show on CBS. It's called The Talk. It's kind of like CBS's answer to The View. The premise is that a bunch of mindless chattering cunts sit at a table and talk about their problems. I don't fucking know. I don't watch the show. I saw this clip on the internet where they were talking about this woman who chopped her husband's penis off and stuffed it in a garbage disposal. And the great thing about this is every fucking cackling cunt on The Talk decided to talk shit about this guy who just had his penis chopped off and laugh at him, and Sharon Osbourne saying like,
I mean, I don't know the circumstances. I don't know why he filed for divorce. I don't know what was going on between them. However, I do think it's quite fabulous. I mean, can you just imagine that thing whizzing around the disposal? It's like,
why did this woman chop her husband's penis off? Because he asked for a divorce. And these cunts were cackling about it like, ha, 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 ha. You go, girlfriend. Ha. Imagine if we lived in a world where a bunch of guys were sitting around a table on a TV show and they were talking about a story where a woman asked for a divorce, so her husband chopped off her clitoris and her tits, threw them in a garbage disposal, and these guys were laughing about it. Where would you imagine that show taking place? Iran, maybe?
So not only are women wanting to fight in every avenue, but being violent, and then when they are violent, illegally violent, they're kind of let off the hook, and we give them a pass.
There's always an excuse. They remind me a lot of what they call religious apologists. They never, ever take responsibility for their actions or for the actions of people who do things based on their interpretation of the Bible, which is everybody, the people who handle snakes, that comes from the Bible. Sure. But they always, no, those people aren't real Christians. And there's never any progress on that front made because they're always dismissing every group. Well, that's their crazy interpretation, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I always say, I'm sure there was some people, in the Nazis that were just genuinely following orders, but we don't accept that excuse. You have to kind of at some point draw the line, you know? You can't keep apologizing for people because even if you're not a part of it by existing, you're kind of a step in that direction. You know what I mean? What's the word I'm looking for? It's like, for example, I read a story a long time ago about during World War II, some of the military guys, to make a statement, a sociological statement, they wouldn't honor segregation when they got back because they had just fought alongside, you know, people of color.
Sure.
And these guys literally are depending on each other for their lives. And then they get back here and they're told that, oh, you know, you get to use the water fountain before him or whatever. And they said, no. You know, they helped exacerbate the zeitgeist. They helped.
Troops coming back from Europe and World War II that didn't want to participate in segregation.
And that helps, you know, that helps move things in the right direction. Yeah. I just feel like religious apologists are the worst because we'll never, ever be able to officially say, you know what, these people are a terrorist hate group. And if you've ever read anything like the Westboro Baptist Church has said publicly or written or anything, if they weren't hiding behind the Bible, they would be known as a hate group.
True. So in this instance, then, would these be sexual apologists? Like, I can't help but bring to mind Lorena Bobbitt. Lorena Bobbitt chopped off her husband's penis, threw it in some ravine, and got the equivalent of what would be a slap on the wrist.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if you're not following the case now, but they have, Jody Arias?
Yes, yes.
Who is, this is so ludicrous. If this was a man claiming innocence, people would be holding their belly. They'd be belly laughing. They'd be guffawing. This woman shot these photos, threw her camera in the laundry machine to ruin it, and is still claiming abuse. No history of abuse whatsoever, no witnesses ever. The fact that they're even entertaining that defense, but they always do. No woman ever commits a crime. It's always some, oh, I was abused in some way or another.
Yeah, and we do have a clip of Jody right here.
Remember, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, get it.
Harlem Shake is coming to registered air offenders.
And do the Harlem Shake.
That wasn't Jody Arias. Nick, what did you do there?
I don't know. I'm sorry, man. Something just came over me, man. We just had to dance for a moment. That's all.
I'll tell you, when I read it, the more I watch a lot of violent stuff, and you know what? I'm a voyeur. I do enjoy watching all the violent programming on YouTube or wherever. I got to see some wonderful, God bless you. I got to see some wonderful Harlem Shake. Chris, there's a cough button in front of you there. Or it can also double as a sneeze button. So there we are. So women nowadays wanting to fight, becoming more violent, but then on the other hand, a lot of them not wanting to take responsibility or face the justice system as a man would when they commit a violent crime. They always say, he beat me. That's why I cut his penis off and slit his throat.
If you remember Mary Kay Letourneau, she made a mockery of the system. I mean, she went away to prison as soon as she got out, resumed her relationship with the kid, got pregnant by that kid. I mean, it was one of these things where
the school teacher.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Wasn't even like supposed to ever contact him again. You know, it really just isn't taken very seriously.
Yeah. So you're saying women are not held up to the same standards judiciously as men are. I guess that's the main argument, is like, if women want to compete with men, do what men do, you should be held to the same standards and you don't get off the hook. Like, if my girlfriend beat me, which she does, if my girlfriend beat me and then I slit her throat, I can't say, she beat me, that's why I slit her throat. No one's going to go for that.
You could say it, but you could be laughed at. You would be laughed out of, yeah. The one that always gets me is seduction. And that's exemplary of the double standard. You will never hear a man claim that he was seduced. That would just get him slapped that much harder. No, I didn't have sex with that girl. I was seduced by her.
Well, I was seduced by a tranny once, but that's another time.
That's something we would only entertain out of a woman's mouth. I remember Tom Likas had it on his show one time where a lady called in and she went for a massage and, you know, she's in some vacationing, some Caribbean island, and she has sex with the masseuse, you know, who's this giant black guy, and she knows now that the baby was going to come out half black.
Yeah.
So she's trying to, you know, solicit advice on how she's going to break the news to her boyfriend, who's obviously going to realize something is amiss.
Sure.
And, you know, she used that word, seduction. Well, the masseuse seduced me, and that, you know, you say you're a grown woman, you're an adult. Who is this, you know? They have magical powers, you know?
I understand black men do have magical powers, and our guest today can speak to us about that, because he might have magical powers as a powerful black man.
Well, career-wise, he has stage magic. I've seen him perform some. I'll tell you what, this
he
guy
does.
Is
you know what?
Hypnotic.
He is. He really is. I really enjoy his timing. I was watching him. I swear to God, I hate fart jokes. I was actually laughing at his timing on his fart jokes.
He's extremely likable, and it's ironic because, I mean, if you've seen him, he looks, you know, like you just... like Juggernaut without the helmet on.
Well, he is a personal trainer, as am I, but he actually looks like one. That's the difference between
us. It's all about clientele, Sal. I always tell Sal, you can't look too good for your particular clientele, so stay the way you are.
Well, you know what somebody told me? A guy told me who I work with at his home. He says, well, you know, you're the kind of guy, Sal, where, you know, somebody wouldn't be intimidated to have you in their home. I'm like, oh, thanks. Is that supposed to be a compliment? Anyway, he gives me a check, so whatever.
Yeah, I told you that when I'm on LA casting, submitting myself for roles, I mean, I hear a bell go off in my head whenever I see not too good looking. that's me.
Too good looking. All right, we're going to move right along with our show. That was the end of YouTube Talk. We're going to get into our next segment, which is Chris's Corner.
Ta-da. Give me some music. Yeah. I've decided to start my own religion. Not some fly-by-night cult, although my own cult complete with psychotropic drugs and a harem of teenage wives sounds awesome. I hope to build something that could still be standing 2,000 years from now. I've even come up with a nifty name for my faith. Christianism, after yours truly. What I really want is power. I realize that the quickest way to come to power is through military conquest, but I don't want an empire built on conquered subjects thirsting for revolution. I want the kind of fanatical devotion only religion can garner. You're probably wondering, Chris, who is going to subscribe to your religion and why? I'll tell you who. The lost, lonely, and down on their luck. And those possessed of normal human frailties but less than normal intelligence. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm going to prey on the fear of death, mankind's Achilles heel. Consider that the meaning of life is no closer to being known now than it was the first time it was discussed millennia ago. If I claim to have the answer, I'll become more than a king among men. I'll become a king of kings among men. And if I make people believe that there is a sanctuary where residents are reunited with long-dead loved ones, they will gladly devote themselves to lifelong servitude to secure lodging. The best part about this empty paradise promise is that I never have to worry about dissatisfied customers crying fraud. By the time they realize they've been had, it's too late. But for this free will extortion scheme to work, there has to be some repercussions for not embracing my dogma. I asked 5 people what they considered the worst way to spend eternity, and 3 said burning, so burning it is. Now, for Christianism's supplemental literature, I penned some Aesop-style fables, plagiarized a handful of actual ancient religious texts, then wrote myself into certain historical events to make it read like I was responsible for their occurrence. This book is gonna sell like hotcakes. I won't be happy till there's one copy collecting dust on every Christian's bookshelf. And then I'm going to open franchises on every corner in every overweight red state from coast to coast. My deistic status will no doubt come with a substantial measure of accountability. When babies are born hair-lipped and grannies succumb to cancer, my disciples will demand to know why I did nothing to shield them from Darwinism. I've come up with 2 solutions for this problem. A, a nemesis who exists only to thwart my benevolent agenda. Someone or something who revels in perpetuating sorrow, evil, etc. And whenever my followers find themselves up to their nostrils in shit luck, they will know who to blame. 2, faith. Like the proverbial carrot before the mule, faith will keep my jackasses marching. Any questions I can't answer, I'll answer, have faith. When my congregation wonders why I don't simply wave my omnipotent hand and feed the multitudes of starving people on this planet, my followers will assure them that there is some divine purpose to my happiness. Have faith, my flock of sheep will bay. Chris works in mysterious ways. Undoubtedly, Christianism will draw detractors who will use astronomy, archaeology, geology, paleontology, historical records, and just plain common sense to point out inconsistencies in my book and conundrums in my doctrines. I'm not too worried about them. My curriculum demands that its students make themselves so obdurate to reason that even divine intervention can't undo their brainwashing. I know how far-fetched the whole thing sounds, but something tells me it just might work. That's Chris's Corner. Thanks for stopping by.
Chris, how does it feel knowing that you will burn in eternal hellfire?
Well, that's, you know, I subscribe to the Nordic hell. So it's eternal freezing. Did you know that?
What? Oh, that hell's actually cold. And
yeah,
not, and
in their Norse legends, you know, because that's the wasteland they lived in. So
I think I would rather burn than freeze.
I don't know, man. I don't know which is more painful. I know sometimes when you're freezing, you think you're burning. You ever hear that?
Yes, I have heard that, yes.
And they find, you know, people that got locked in a freezer or something, they find them buck naked because at some point they say, I'm burning, and they rip all their clothes off, you know?
Yeah.
And you suffer from hallucinations. I know your brain starts firing off all kinds of crazy things when you're dying and you're freezing to death.
Is that how you felt last night on that edible?
Actually, I felt fine last night. It's only this morning when I woke up and I felt like I had the flu.
So you didn't vomit or anything?
No.
Because I vomited the last time. Speaking of going back to the UFC, I missed that UFC because I took an edible and I was vomiting in the bathroom and missed the premiere of women's UFC. I was so pissed off. That's when I drew the line and said, that's the straw that broke the camel's back. I'm done with it.
Yeah. I'm retiring from grass once and for all.
Well, no, there's edibles and then there's smokables, and I'll take the smokables for now. Although I am becoming an alcoholic, you know, the transition from stoner to alcoholic is going a lot smoother than I had expected. All right, we're going to get into... Oh, we want to remind everybody you're listening to Registered Ear Offenders with Sal Rodriguez and Chris Z on SkidRowStudios.com. Also on Extreme Talk XM 165. You know that on the schedule on Extreme Talk XM 165, we're listed right underneath Jesse Jackson's Keep Hope Alive show.
What, did he only do one, or he's a recurring? Recurring segment.
He has a show on Extreme Talk XM 165, and he is listed right above Registered Ear Offender.
Jesse Jackson or his ne'er-do-well son?
I think it's actually the actual Jesse Jackson, Mr. Keep Hope Alive. I think that's the name of a show, Keep Hope Alive.
Cool, man.
That's kind of fun, huh? Yeah. My mother voted for him when he ran for president, I think, in 84.
My God, time flies. I do remember that.
Yeah. We're going to get into Sal's weekly rant. Too many people want your money. Take Facebook, for example. There's no shortage of friends asking for funds for their independent film project, for any number of political causes, and for various animal rescue organizations. Along the street, there is never an end to beggars, door-to-door solicitors, and hipster Greenpeace workers. How the hell do we give to all of them? I believe in charity, and I understand that money makes the world go round, but it's just too much, day in and day out. Might I suggest volunteer work as a substitute for a monetary donation? I used to donate to Feed the Children until I heard that most of the money went to line the pockets of the group's leadership. I recently found satisfaction reading news articles for the blind and visually impaired at the Braille Institute, and this week I'll be applying to the Big Brother program in an attempt to provide to someone what I never had. As Gandhi said, be the change you wish to see in the world. But there is just so much and just too much. Choose wisely, my son. I was walking out of Trader Joe's yesterday when I was approached by a petitioner. I didn't have my guard up because I seldom get approached by petitioners. I figure it's because I'm a Mexican guy with a shaved head, and they figure we only get involved if it involves immigration. This guy was part of a legalized gay marriage advocacy group. For the record, I believe gays should have the right to be married. Better them than me. He asked me to fill out a form and make a donation. I asked if we could skip the form and I would gladly make a donation. I begin to reach in my pocket, pull out some cash, when he stops me and says he doesn't take cash. Instead, he asks for a check. I told him I didn't have my checkbook. He asked for a credit card. I lied and said I didn't have it with me. I wasn't about to hand my credit card to a stranger on the corner, even if he is slim and wearing a sweater vest. He said I can go online and make a donation. I said cool and I walked on. Later, I looked online at his cause and many others. Again, I believe gays should have the right to marry, but after some research into multiple causes worthy of my support, allowing Bob and Ted to have their special day pales in comparison to helping little African kids fix their cleft lips. Sorry, gay people, I support you, and perhaps one day I will put my money where my mouth is. But for now, I'll put my money where little Odongo's mouth is. That's Sal's Weekly Rant. Thank you very much.
That's funny, Sal. It's like, you know, when I talk about, I was just reading this article, and these, you know, there's a lot of feminist writers out there who have to publish or perish. So they, you know, write these faux enraged, you know, articles about, you know, oh, this is misogyny. And have you heard that joke that was made at the Oscars where the kid, where Seth MacFarlane, the host, said, you know, she's 9 years old. That means in 16 years, she'll be too old for Clooney.
Yes.
Like somebody, not only did they make it, this woman claimed the joke was sexist, but claimed it was racist, even though the joke is entirely at Clooney's expense. And no mention of her race was ever made.
Wait, how did they say it was racist?
She used some word, you know, some intellectual snooty word like, you know, quasi-racist or something, you know, but with no substantiation.
Okay.
And she just, it's funny, she just lumped in with that. She's like, you know, we live in a world where, you know, there's acid attacks. And when it, yeah, nobody disagrees that acid attacks are horrific. But modern feminism in the United States, especially from an attractive woman, is the mother of all white people problems. There's no bigger asset. Yeah, there's no asset that can get you farther in this country than being an attractive white woman.
And especially with expendable income, so they can get their huge lips and Botoxed foreheads.
Expendable income, yeah, but that comes from a source. Like, you know, in return, that man gets to, you know, keep his dick warm at night.
From his mistress. All right, we're going to move right along with our special guest for today. Chris, would you do us a favor and announce our special guest for today?
Special guest for today. He enrolled at the world-famous Second City in his hometown of Chicago, then relocated to Los Angeles, decided to take stand-up comedy class kind of on a lark, and now he calls it a calling. He's known as the Raging Bull of Comedy. He's appeared on the Young and Restless soap opera, toured with such names as Monique, Charlie Murphy, and Tom Papa, and apparently had a couple... are these just names you've toured with, or have you made a... don't be modest, please. You don't come on the show to be modest. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome LJ Montenegro. What's up? Did you expect to be brought in by a marching band?
That's LJ Montenegro, welcome to Registered Air Offenders with Sal Rodriguez and Chris Z. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Very nice. That's a very nice shirt. You got a fleur-de-lis on there. Are you of French lineage?
Sure, let's say yes.
That's another thing, Sal, that I know about this guy. Every time I see him, he's always well-dressed, impeccably dressed every time I see him.
I try, man. You know, I want to look good for radio. You.
Oh, now am I on?
Okay. Now you're on.
Because I know I couldn't hear my voice, but I just thought it's because I was black, but whatever.
Yeah, the microphones are racist or quasi-racist.
Yes.
So what's new, man? What do you got going on? What's big? What's on your plate?
Well, I just got back from, I was on the road, just got back from Texas. I'm at the Comedy Store tonight and the Ha Ha Cafe. So I got two shows tonight.
To El Paso?
Yes.
That's a hell of a haul, man.
Yeah, it is. It's fun, though.
Did you fly there or you road tripped it?
I flew.
Yeah?
I flew, yeah.
You flow?
I flow. You know, I just grab a mic, start flowing. Next thing you know, I'm in El Paso.
That means he drove there with the window down, his arm out, and it's called.
It was a flow. Now, I flew.
Now, LJ, it doesn't say this on your bio, but I understand that you're also a musician and you have recorded music.
Yes, I produce music. I put out a CD called Famous with a PH because, you know, that's how we spell it. And it went double copper, I think it was. So,
and what were you doing? Were you singing? Were you rapping? What were you doing?
Then I was rapping and produced. I produced it myself. Now I just produce music. Try to get a couple of soundtracks on. Try to get on a couple of soundtracks and films and stuff like that right now. So, yeah.
So you do it all. You are all over the place.
I try. Jack of all trade, master of none, you know.
No. I've seen you. You are a busy comedian. You're always somewhere. Even if you're not booked, you're out there hustling, you're out there networking, schmoozing, making contacts.
Yes.
So you're very, very, very busy with your stand-up comedy.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, you know, I just want to stay relevant, you know. Like they say, you can't get famous on your couch, so I make sure I'm out every night. Just like I said, if I'm not performing, just out in front of people who book shows and try to book shows, try to network, you know.
Do you have a website or some central promotion thing?
Yeah, I have, you know, lj.com, but you must spell it out, E-L-J-A-Y-E. .com. All my information's on there, all my shows and, you know, stuff like that.
We have a lot of comics on the show because mostly that's our circle, right. You know, circle of friends. But man, LJ is one of those kind. You got to see this guy if you get a chance. I mean, this dude destroys rooms.
It's
you know
true.
What I mean? Like, it's not just like, oh, he put on a good show. Like, this is one of those dudes, like, you leave there, like, with a torn freaking abdomen. You know?
It's true. And, you know, we do have a clip of LJ from the good old Comedy Time saga.
Oh, thanks.
But don't get me wrong. I like older women, too. I like older women. But I don't mean old like cougar. I mean so old that, like, saber-toothed tiger, damn near extinct. Right? I mean, oh, I want a woman so old, like, on her birth certificate, on the birth date, it just says once upon a time. That's what I'm talking about. And even if I do get her pregnant, the kid will come out fully grown. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, old. But I'm going to tell you something. Hey, listen. Young fellas, if you get you an older woman, you better know how to treat her, because you can't treat old women like you do these little young women. No. Because old women been through some things. Like the depression. Hey, you know. So you have to treat old women like you do old Nintendo cartridges. Reset. You gotta know how to do it. Gotta know how to do it. And I ain't gonna lie, I slipped up. I dated one of these women. You know, I had my first interracial relationship. You know, me being black and she was a vegan. And don't do it. Don't do it. Mix me. No, it don't work. Cause see, I eat meat. I like a steak. And I'm gonna tell you like this. I don't know what happens to vegans. I don't know what happens to vegans, but see, when you eat meat and you fart, okay? Oh, it smells like a fart. What came out of her smelled like 8 years of bad decisions. I don't even know what that was. No, I don't know. I don't know. It didn't even sound right. No. Because when we meet, we have different ones. Like, we got, like, the presidential fart. Brack! You got that one. Right? You might need health care, but it's awesome. Then you get that smooth jazz. It'd be like, da-da-da. You got that one? Oh, don't forget about that quiet storm. Did you eat sulfur? What was that? But for some reason, when she did it, it sounded like Edward G. Robinson. It was like, yeah. What is that? What is that? Yeah. No. Yeah. Uh-uh. And it was hot. The coverage, there was like this backdraft. It went whoosh, like, ah! I had to stop, drop, and roll. I was like, what?
Chris, we finally have somebody who has older references than me. I have never, I think since Looney Tunes, heard an Edward G. Robinson reference.
Yeah, see?
You know who used to do that also? You remember What's Happening? I think, was it Dwayne or Raj used to do an Edward G. Oh, no, it was Rerun. Rerun used to do an Edward G. Robinson.
Yeah, that's right.
LJ, talk to us as a black comedian as you could any other way. Tell us about different audiences. Like, you got the white audiences, you got the black audiences. I used to do Chocolate Sundays at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
Talk to us about how different audiences receive you. Do you notice a difference? Do you perform differently depending on the audience?
Actually, I do. I don't really do different material. It's more of the way you present material. You know what I mean? Depending on, because I've done shows for very conservative white audiences, very G-rated. I've even done a show at Cal Lutheran College, and where I had to throw the Edward G. Robinson to them, and I was just trying to teach the kids.
But, learn your history.
But yo, seriously, it's more of a tone and the way I structure jokes depending on the audience. You know, it's, you know, for lack of a better term, if it's more of a urban crowd, as you say, we'll call it that, politically incorrect.
Urban.
Oh, politically correct. If it's an urban crowd, you know, I get more vulgar, I get more animated. If it's a more conservative crowd, you know, I can still do the same jokes, but the delivery is a lot different, I guess you can say, you know, because I can still do the fart jokes. I can still do the, you know, the racial stuff, the violent stuff, but it's more delivery, I find.
Like, I've noticed that, you know, in the over the years that I've seen you, is you're an adult. You do comedy. You're an adult comedian for adults, but you're not vulgar. You don't cuss. I don't hear a lot of cussing from you.
No, I don't. My whole thing was, it's like when I first came out, I thought I had to. Mm-hmm. Then I heard this thing, like Bill Cosby is one of my favorite comedians. And, you know, his whole stigma, his whole thing is him being so clean. Mm-hmm. And so when I wanted to ask him if he was dirty, he said, oh, yeah, I knew how to get dirty. But I just think all these young comics start off blue. They have nowhere to go if you have to. And he said, you know, you start off doing it his way. And then if something happens, you know, a heckler, your room calls for it or whatever, you have some place to go. It's kind of ever since then, I just started writing a different way. I just said, well, let me start. But it's a lot easier to dirty something up, if you wish, than it is to write a dirty joke and try to clean it up.
Mm-hmm. Scarcity is the essence of value, man. And if you keep dropping F-bombs, you know, by the third one, it's lost all weight.
You
know? But then meanwhile, you know, you look at icons, like if you go back in time to Delirious and Raw.
Yes.
I mean, Ed Norton is fucking Ralph Cramden in the ass. I mean.
Right.
you know, so how do you come to, and Chris and I talk about this all the time because Chris prides himself on being a clean comic. Me, I'm sort of indifferent. I don't care. I could go blue if I feel like it.
Right.
I really don't care personally, but how do you really come to terms with that? Like, do you advertise yourself as a comic, but not necessarily a clean comic and not a dirty comic, but you can go either way.
Right. And my thing is, like I say, I'm a comic first, you know, it's like, I never say I'm a black comic or, you know, this kind of comic. I say I'm a comic first. I try to be a stand-up comic first. And then depending on the situation, I can tailor my, because people ask me, what do you have? I said, I can do G, I can do PG-13, mm-hmm. I can do R, and I can go vulgar. I will say I'm more comfortable PG-13.
Yeah.
You know, because I love innuendos. Because that's actually more fun for me than dropping a bunch of, you know.
And a good innuendo can fly over a kid's head and they wouldn't even notice.
Yeah. Exactly. Because one time I actually showed up at a show where I just thought it was a college show, so I was going to do some stuff. But then we end up having, it was a fundraiser. And one of the women brought her kids, and they were like 5 and 7. Then right before the show, it was more like, you know, okay, we got a 5 and a 7-year-old here, so you can't do anything. You can't even suggest stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's probably one of the more fun times I've had on stage ever. It's basically, because I turned the act of having sex to playing PlayStation. It was PlayStation. So anytime I made any reference to PlayStation or playing video games, hitting the buttons, the adults knew what I was talking about, so it was funny to them. And the kids actually thought I was talking about playing video games.
Well, you mentioned PlayStation, and then in your bit here, you mentioned Nintendo. Are you a gamer?
Yes. I spend a lot of money on games just so I can play football.
Yeah.
I love Madden. You know, so like, I have a PS3 and an Xbox, and I have Madden on both systems.
I'm curious here about the Young and the Restless.
Yeah,
it
what
seems
was
like
that?
Such an eye out of left field credit. You know?
Yes, I love that. That's why I do it, because it's kind of like, what's coming out here? It's an audition for Young and the Restless. It's funny. I heard you guys talking earlier about cutting off penises and all that stuff. I actually auditioned. I knew the casting director of Young and the Restless when I first moved here. And I actually auditioned to be on the soap opera as a rapist. I can do anything. It's like, seriously, that's kind of like the only thing that I have a problem with. Just because I have two daughters, I was raised by my mother, and I have a little sister. So the thing of the rape irks the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. So it was hard for me to play a rapist.
Yeah.
And the casting director saw it on my face. She said, "You're not caught." I said, "No, I'm not. I'm sorry." Then I explained to her. So then she called me back. She said, "I got a perfect role for you. You're going to make you a prisoner." I was on it for like a week.
You're a prison rapist.
But wait,
you're only raping males.
You're getting raped in prison.
But here's the funny thing. It's like, I was like, there's still rape. She said, "No, what it is you're going to be a prisoner, but I guess one of the main characters was arrested for statutory rape. So they put him in jail in my cell."
Uh-oh.
So I had to do prison justice on the rapist. I was like, "Oh, count me in." So that was kind of how it was. Actually, she said,
"No,
this
wait
would
a second. Statutory
for
rape for a guy over 18 had sex with a woman who's under 18."
Correct.
LJ, you would kick my ass then if that were the case.
Yes, if it were my daughter. Oh hell yeah!
Because when I was, I think when I was 18, I was dating a 17-year-old. We were riding, yeah, 17, 18.
That's crap. That's more of a that's. Abusing the law, I should say. Because if you're like 17, 16, you turn 18 and she turns 17, then technically it's statutory rape, mm-hmm. but that's yeah. BS.
Yeah, it's absurd. I mean, I remember when I was in high school, there was this couple, and she was in ninth grade, and he was a senior. Mm-hmm. And they stayed together for years. So at mm-hmm. some point, he was not only older than her, but even out of high school, and still, but they were a couple, you know?
Yeah.
I think it is strange, though, how society has really glommed onto this idea that 18 is this magical number, because
right.
it hasn't always been that way. It's
no.
an arbitrary number, yep. but people really seem to endow it with respect.
Yes.
I always say, so, you know, that little restaurant I used to work at right on Ventura, there's a lady there, man, beautiful, nice, sweet. She got married when she was 16. She's Mexican, you know,
right.
back in her little village. She got married when she was 16.
Yes.
She has a 19-year-old daughter. She's like my age, has a 19-year-old daughter.
Right.
Perfectly happy.
Right.
Nobody can claim she was a victim. Mm-hmm. She wasn't manipulated by a male. She, you know, she's just a perfectly happy person. I just think it's funny that Americans are so quick to...
Oh, yeah.
You know, project our views on other people, you know?
LJ, you mentioned your daughters. You have a couple of daughters.
Yes.
Are they in Chicago or are they here?
One's in Chicago, one's at Florida State. So last year at Florida State.
And did you have an ex-wife? Were you married?
Oh, yeah, I have an ex-wife. Those are the best kind of wives.
we get along so great.
Are you dating anyone now? Are you out there on the hunt for a new woman?
I'm never on the hunt because, you know, look at me. It just comes to me. Let me stop. No, I am kind of dating right now. I'm kind of dating right now. Beautiful woman.
Well, to be stereotypical, is she a little Asian woman?
Of course not. I've never been with an Asian woman. I've tried, but it just never happened for me.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
I'm the same way. It's not by choice. I wish.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it just never, ever happened for me, you know?
You know, I wish you could have been with me when we were in Japan. We toured Japan a few years ago with the USO.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, you would have loved it out there. Oh, I'm telling you. And you know, they're starting to advertise on these little Asian girls in Japan. They're starting to put stickers on their thighs. You guys read about this recently?
Oh, with the advertising,
yeah.
Right? Yes.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I'm trying to do that for me, you know? Hey, any type of...
Stickers on their thighs?
Yeah, they're putting stickers on their thighs.
So
yeah.
Then you look and you're the jerk.
Well, I would look. When I was in Japan, I noticed that the Japanese guys don't look... I mean, they would be standing next to a beautiful little Japanese girl with high heels, with the little plaid skirt, and they would not look.
Uh-huh.
I'm there drooling, but they would not look.
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting. So tell us what else you're doing with acting. You're on Young and the Restless, so you got anything else you're doing right now? Or are you still
auditioning? Out there auditioning for commercials, still trying to do that, TV shows, movies, whatever my agents call me up for. I'm out there trying to make it happen, man.
Now, you were also, you know, I remember seeing you in, was it an independent film or a webisode where you were coming down a hill about to kick somebody's ass?
Oh my God, what was that?
Yeah, what was that? Was that a webisode?
Yeah, that was some web show I did.
Yeah,
I've done so much free stuff.
I was about to say,
stuff.
Free shit? Is
oh
that
my
where you
God,
go
yes. it's so much. I have a huge internet presence out there. Because sometimes I'll Google my name just to see what's out there. And I'll forget stuff that I've done here and there, you know, so.
Well, speaking of your name, mm-hmm. Montenegro, is that your real last name?
It is not. I will tell you the story. It was the whole Montenegro thing. I love it. First of all, it sounds cool, and I love when Latin women say it. I do love the Latin women, though. I just like the way they say my name. Montenegro actually happened. I have to give Fernando Flores. You know Fernando, right?
Yes, and I think Chris knows him, too.
You know Fernando, yes. Okay, what happened? When I first moved here, I went to a show at the Ice House. Their show, it was their Latin, when it was just a Latin show.
Yeah.
And I went in, and there were so many hot women there. I'm like, dude, you have to let me do this show. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was just going by LJ. That was just one name, like, you know, Michael, Prince, Madonna, you know, just one name. That's all I needed. And he said, this is a Latin show. We try to book mostly Latin comedians. And I'm like, well, what about Dominican? I'm Dominican. And he looked at me like, what? I said, no, I'm serious. I'm like a black Dominican. My dad was Dominican. You know, we were black Dominican. He said, oh, I didn't know that. So what's your last name? I was like, Montenegro, Black Mountain, I don't know. And he's like, oh, I didn't know.
Did he giggle when you told him that?
No, he thought I was serious. I did it with a straight face. I was serious.
I would believe it. Why wouldn't I believe it?
You're a man who looks like a Black Mountain.
Right, exactly. And he bought it. Yeah, I said, yeah, my grandmother. I said, blah, blah, blah. And so then he said, okay. So they booked me as LJ Montenegro. And then at that time, that's when I met Rudy and Joey Medina and all this, like a lot of guys were just there. And so he said, oh, come do my room. And they just kept introducing me as LJ Montenegro. And it kind of stuck. So
it's funny that you used to tour the Latino rooms and I used to tour the Black rooms.
Yes. I got a lot of love from, I don't get any love from my brothers. I have none.
What? Do you date Black women at all?
If they let me, yeah. I'm not prejudiced.
Okay. You'll date all across the board.
Oh my God. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Big women, little women, tall women, short women.
Yes.
But being
pretty
in shape.
Pretty much all you need is a vagina.
No, but you're
well, yeah, I mean,
you're in like, shape. You got to have a woman who's in shape, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. Because I think it's not a conceit thing or an arrogance thing. It's more of a, because I think women out of shape just don't care. Mm-hmm. And I need you to care about yourself. Yeah. For me to date you. You know what I mean? It's just like, I mean, if you're just sloppy for no reason.
I agree with you. It's the principle.
Yeah, exactly. It's the principle.
With I used to live with, that used to kill me, man. Because I was out there working hard. I'm auditioning. I was working. Mm-hmm. I'd go to the gym from 11 to midnight right before they closed. And to come home and find her just slumped in the recliner. It's like, after I'm putting in my time to look good.
Exactly.
Why do I care about someone who clearly doesn't care as much?
Exactly.
And sure enough, she, you know, after it was too late when we broke up, she, you know, admitted that, you know, her own mother told her, you're gonna lose your boyfriend. I mean, the way you keep this house, you know, and her mother actually told her that. And she chose not to adhere to it or take action, you know.
Yeah.
There's a show here on Saturdays called Bad Advice where we do around the table comics and people ask questions. And this guy was asking for advice because his girlfriend liked to primp all the time. He's like, she always likes to primp. She's always staring in the mirror and always primping. And he didn't like this. And I'm like, I want that.
I know.
I want a girl that is constantly concerned about her appearance.
Yes, me too. And I'm not the guy. And I'm not a jealous guy. So if I go out and my girl's looking good and guys are eyeballing her, I love that. That bothers me. That I have no problem with that at all.
I like dating a woman, and I've had this in years past where I'm dating a woman where guys did not believe that she was with me. Oh, yeah.
When she said so.
No, yes. no way. Hey, listen, because you're in great shape, because you're a personal trainer, and because I am too, although you look like one, we are going to have a very special game show today.
Okay.
And the game show is called
Stump the Trainer.
And this is where, now this is completely fair the way that we do this. We've done this before with other guests.
Okay.
Chris has created a list of fitness related questions.
Okay.
I've never seen them, I swear to you.
Okay.
And he's going to ask us the questions and you and I will compete against one another for
dun, dun, dun.
A bottle of protein powder from Trader Joe's. Yeah, yeah. And you will have your selection. If you win, mm-hmm. you will have your selection of either vanilla
or chocolate really?
Protein powder. And if you do win, I hope you choose the vanilla.
Okay.
All right. But so, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, the way that you buzz in is you say your name. So you would say LJ and then give your answer. I will say Sal and give my answer. So ladies and gentlemen, it is Sal Rodriguez, personal trainer, versus LJ Montenegro, personal trainer, in Stump the Trainer.
Oh, he's got to liquid up before we do it.
I got to get amped up.
Question number one of Stump the Trainer. And you guys are, again, shout out your name.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question number one. How many calories does it take to burn 1 pound of fat?
LJ.
LJ Montenegro.
3,500.
Damn it.
That's absolutely correct. To the zero. To the number.
Wait, did you say 2 to 0?
Yeah.
What's 1-0?
No. I said, like, absolutely correct, 2-0.
Oh,
like,
I said 2-0. I'm like, hey, man, slow down.
All right, I got 2 points.
Okay, all right. I'm going to get serious now.
If LJ gets a question right, it's 2 points. If Sal gets it, one. Perfectly fair game. Question number two. Blank, often abbreviated as ACL, is one of the four major ligaments.
Sal.
The
knee. I can't remember my name.
Anterior cruciate ligament.
That's correct.
Yeah!
Cruciate. How about cruciate?
Yeah, well, okay.
They have to pronounce it properly.
Okay, well, hang on. Let's let Nick decide then. You be the judge. I said anterior cruciate ligament, mm-hmm. and the correct pronunciation should be cruciate. Nick, what do you say? You be the judge.
It's cruciate.
It's close enough.
Yeah!
Okay.
1-1. Let's do this.
You said it with such pride. Dude, he's like,
I want to.
Like,
I want to win,
man. Physician, you know,
the anterior cruciate ligament.
Yeah, exactly.
I got my repetition on the line. I got my reputation on the line.
Okay.
Question number three: how many consecutive Tour de France's did Lance Armstrong win?
LJ. 7.
That's correct.
Damn it!
I'm like, huh?
That's not really fitness related, Chris. Come on.
It's a sport.
That's
He's a world
sports related.
Athlete.
Why don't you ask us a bowling question while you're at it?
Question number four. Sal just lost a point, by the way. According to Wiki Answers, how many skeletal muscles are in the human body?
Sal.
262. That's completely incorrect.
God. I just talked to someone about this. Fudge.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question?
According to Wiki Answers, how many skeletal muscles are in the human body?
Oh, I forgot.
Oh, skeletal muscles. I thought bones. See, I need to listen more.
Yes.
My girlfriend is right. I don't listen.
Go. You can still have it.
Okay, muscles. Sal. Wait, can I say it again?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to say, because you got the face. You got the face. That mm-hmm. counts too. you got the dick. You got the dick muscle.
I have no idea.
You got the dick muscle. I'm going to say, 85. I'm wrong.
No.
It's worse than you.
Yeah. I know it's a lot.
Wait, do you have an
What's
answer?
The answer? No, I don't.
You LJ, don't want to just take a guess?
No.
Okay.
LJ passes.
So 1-0.
Mm-hmm. So what's...
Not 1-0.
No.
Sal, Sal has 1 point. LJ has
wait,
2.
Wait, what's the answer?
Oh, sorry. 640.
640
yes,
okay. muscles?
Yeah.
Skeletal
Shit.
Muscles.
Yeah, it's
There's
a lot of muscles.
I specified skeletal
Is that
muscles.
Including the penis muscle?
I never heard of it. Question number 5.
Okay.
The phrase latissimus dorsi.
LJ.
Whoa,
you
okay.
sure you don't want to let me finish the
okay,
question?
Okay, go ahead.
No, wait a second. Okay, go. I'll let it go.
The phrase latissimus dorsi literally translates to LJ.
Oh.
Sal. Back fin.
That's pretty far off the mark. It's in
no,
the
it's like dorsi, dorsal,
yes,
dorsal fin. It's a good guess.
That's a very good guess. Coming from the back, from the spine.
I'm going to say wrong for both.
It's oh.
back muscle way over to the side.
Oh, okay.
Really?
All
back
right.
muscle way
That's
over to
one.
The side.
Is that Greek? What is that? Roman? What
Latin,
is it?
Yeah.
Latin. Oh, these fucking Latinos.
Yes, exactly.
Question number 6.
Okay.
The adductor longus... found along the inner thigh, allows the femur to move in what manner / directions?
LJ. Medially or inward.
That's correct.
Okay.
Damn it. What's the score?
3 for LJ, 1 for Sal,
Fuck.
And 2 unanswered questions. Question number 7. The term muscle is derived from the Latin musculus, meaning?
LJ. Movement.
No, that's incorrect.
Fuck. Musculus. Is derived from the Latin term meaning, Sal. Momentum?
Little mouse.
Damn it!
Are you serious?
Most likely because it looks, you know, they named it after what it looked like, a little mouse.
Oh, okay. Fucking LJ's kicking my ass.
Question number 8. The first Mr. Olympia was held in what year?
Sal.
Oh, okay.
Sal.
68.
That's incorrect.
Damn it.
LJ. 69.
That's incorrect. It was 1965.
Oh, but I know who won. It was a white man. He was a white man. He had big biceps. I forgot his name. I used to follow that.
I used to follow.
I knew every Mr. Olympia, Eric Dickerson, all those guys. Damn it. Okay, at least it's still 3-1. How many more questions do we have? Can I still catch up? Is there still hope for me?
Maybe if you get this one, but.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Question number nine. In what city did the first Mr. Olympia take place?
Ooh, shoot.
Sal. Atlantic City.
That's incorrect.
Damn it.
No idea.
New York. New York City.
How many more questions do we have?
Two
more. So if I get these two right, we'll be tied.
Okay.
And then you have to have a tiebreaker question.
Okay.
All right.
I'll make sure that doesn't happen.
Okay. Hey, anybody who's listening, who's a fan of the show, please pray, chant, whatever you need, rub your belly for Sal to win.
Okay, let's go.
Question number 10. Who currently holds the Mr. Olympia title?
LJ. Phil Heath.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct.
Why do you ask three questions? Chris, were you that lazy? You ask us three questions on Mr. Olympia?
I thought it was interesting that they were all, like, you either knew it or you didn't. That's what I thought would be neat. I thought that one of you would either know all three answers or none at all.
Okay, next time run these questions by me first. Okay, give us the last question just for shits and giggles.
Okay.
Question number 11 is supposed to be the tiebreaker, or in case they found fault with one of my previous questions.
Okay.
Name the now retired bodybuilder who won his first major titles only 4 years after graduating high school. Hint, he appeared as himself in the sitcom King of Queens.
LJ. Sal Rodriguez.
LJ got in second before you did.
Did I?
Yeah.
Lou Ferrigno.
That's correct.
And ladies and gentlemen, the winner of Stump the Trainers, Mr. LJ Montenegro! Woo!
LJ wins a new car. Yes. A car is what Sal and I call protein powder.
Okay. Do you choose the vanilla or chocolate protein powder brought to you by Trader Joe's?
I like my protein powder like I like my women. Whores. Give me vanilla.
Vanilla. He chose vanilla, folks. That means I take home the chocolate.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, sucks for me today. Not only do I lose, but I got to pay for the protein powder. We have no budget here. We have no reservoir. Thank you, Mr. Nicholas Chacon. That is the longest game show music ever. Where are we at in our timeline?
We forgot to give him the cut it signal.
I forgot to give him the cut it signal. Everybody, you are listening to Registered Ear Offenders, hosted by Sal Rodriguez and Chris Z on SkidRowStudios.com. Also on
XM Extreme Talk XM 165.
That's right. Right underneath Jesse Jackson's Keep Hope Alive show.
Yeah.
Exactly where you'd expect it to be.
All right. Well, what else we got going on? LJ, you got any final words? Where can our listeners see you and learn more about you?
You can go to Facebook, LJ the Comic, or my website, LJ.com, and find out all you need to know about me. Or just Google me. I like that.
And especially if you're a whore.
Yes.
Are you on, Twitter? You on Twitter?
Oh, yes. Also, follow me at LJ the Comic on Twitter.
Yeah, I got to get back on Twitter, Sal. I'm either doing it every day and I get the flow, yeah. I get the feeling, but or I stop.
Well, you can link your Facebook, you know, you can,
that's
you can
what
link
I do
it.
Now. Yeah.
So
that's
when,
what
you,
I do
when
now.
You Facebook post, it goes onto your tweet, which is a lazy way to go. But
that's the best way to go.
But a lot of people do it that way. You're also going to be, because the show is live. We are still live right now.
Yes.
You are going to be. Tell us where you're going to be tonight and where you're going to be tomorrow.
Tonight, 7:30, I'll be at the Comedy Store in the Belly Room, and I'll also be hosting the Late Show at the Ha Ha Cafe tonight. Tomorrow, I'll be in Bakersfield, California at the Nile Theater.
We have a large following in Bakersfield.
So, all right, good.
We do. Yeah, we do. And also the Inland Empire, which Chris loves.
Oh, yeah.
It's my two favorite places. I don't know how I got stuck in Los Angeles.
Since you are
Bakersfield, only an hour away.
Chris, for those listening live, where are you going to be tonight or tomorrow?
I'm going to be at the Comfort and Joy Cafe in Tahunga. Our good friend Cole Young runs a room.
All right, yeah.
Free show. Come by and check it out.
Mr. Cole Young, former guest. If you are listening live, please stay tuned. Right after our show is Devils in the Details, hosted by Wyam Russell, where you get a chance to hear your favorite conspiracy theory. I know they're going to be getting into aliens pretty soon, and I look forward to that. Speaking of Twitter, Chris, what is your handle on Twitter?
ChrisZ34.
And I am at Sal Los Angeles. And please be sure to like us on Facebook. Our likes are increasing.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, they are. We are up to a number of likes. I'm not going to say how many, but I will say a number.
We need all the support we can get, guys. We're going to ask a small favor, and that's only that you tell 19,000 friends about our show.
All right, everybody.
Because we need 20,000. We've only got 1,000.
All right, everybody. This is Sal Rodriguez.
And this is Chris Z. Thanks for joining us.
And thank you for our special guest, Mr. LJ Montenegro.
Thank you.
Who walks away a winner.
Thanks for listening to Registered Ear Offenders.